Thanks for joining us, and welcome to the Stonebridge Church Podcast. Here at Stonebridge, our goal is to lead people into a real, healthy, and growing relationship with Jesus Christ. If you'd like to join us live, we hold services every Sunday at 9:30 and 11:05 a.m. at 1 Stonebridge Church Drive in the Woodlands, Texas. We invite you to check out our website at gostonebridge.com and follow us on Twitter, where our handle is at SBChurch, and give us a like on Facebook at facebook.com/gostonebridge. This week, Pastor Todd Agnew continues our Christmas series, Finding Calm in a Chaotic World. Now here's Pastor Todd.
Lights, please. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And that's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown. Really, Linus? Really? Peace on earth. That's what you're going to go with, that Christmas is all about. Really? Angels? That's the message you wanted to get across. Peace on earth. Because I don't see it. Last I checked, here's the headlines from this morning. Fires turn California paradise into a war zone. Trump transition accuses Mueller of improperly obtaining emails. White House bans CDC from using seven words. Kim Jong-un's number two man is missing. Suicide bomber kills seven at church in Pakistan. Comedian spills about cheating on pregnant wife. Repeal of net neutrality laws. Surprise inspection finds significant issues in the treatment of immigration detainees. Really, Linus? Peace on earth. Because the last I checked, North Korea had probably achieved nuclear capability and probably could get that weapon to the United States. And then our present president threatened them on Twitter. The last I checked, there's so much sexual harassment and abuse in the news that we can't even keep track of it. You see, all these headlines, they're going to be gone tomorrow because something else will have happened. The last I checked, there's more conflict between races, between genders, and the conflict is deserved because wrongs have been and are being committed. The last I checked, Christmas is coming. In recovery ministry, people often ask, hey, are we going to take a break for Christmas? And the answer is always no, because addictions don't take a break over Christmas. Your struggles and your sin, your addiction doesn't take a break over the holidays. If anything, it's worse. Because the reason that you drink came to your house. My wife's a nurse at a cancer center. Guess what? Cancer doesn't take a break over Christmas. In fact, it's more painful for many people. If we're honest, Christmas is one of the most difficult times in the lives of many people that we know or people that we are. It's a time where we remember loss, because this is our first Christmas without a certain loved one. And seeing the tree and seeing the stockings, it hurts. Right here in Houston, there's people that for the first time are not in their own home at Christmas. That the floods impacted some people in ways that they're not being able to provide Christmas the way that they have before. Are you sure about this whole peace on earth thing? Are you sure that maybe like the angels didn't get the script wrong? And they got back up to heaven and God's like, what was that? I told you to say glory to God in the highest and goodwill toward men. And you just added this whole peace on earth thing when that's obviously not true. That's what I'd like us to talk about this morning. I'd like us to read this passage one more time, switching versions this time. We did the King James for the original because that's what's in Charlie Brown. And I'd like to switch to the New American Standard for one reason that we might mention later if I remember. In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." Let's pray together. God, we are here today with a specific topic because it doesn't make sense to us. And I can admit that it doesn't have to. You are God anyway, whether or not I understand. But I do ask this morning that you will be kind and gracious to us and that you will help us understand, that you will speak to us and that you will be with us. May you be honored and glorified by our time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today is not a real fancy sermon. It's not even a fill-in-the-blank sermon, so I apologize if you feel a sense of accomplishment by getting through that. You might have to take your own notes, or you can just listen. Today is family, because today I need to bring my doubt to the table and go, hey, I read the Christmas story and it all makes sense except for this part. I didn't choose to do this sermon because I had it wrapped up and I had a good entertaining story for you. I like funny stories, I like jokes in sermons, and I've got to tell you ahead of time, there's not any today. I like to do them because you like it, and it's easier for me to do my job if you're already smiling at me. But today we're not in that place. Today we need to be honest and wrestle with this. What is this idea of peace on earth? Why did the angels come and declare something? And what was it that they declared? We commonly define peace as an absence. We use peace in two different ways. One of them, we mean an absence of war. National peace, we mean that the conflict between nations has been taken away and we have peace. In personal peace, we mean it's an absence of stress. The conflict between us and someone else, the conflict between us and ourselves, the conflicts that we are involved in personally are gone, and therefore we have peace. So we define peace as an absence, either an absence of war or an absence of stress. So when the angels charge out of heaven and terrify the shepherds, and they have to yell, "Do not fear, please come back, don't run away, stop hiding behind the sheep." And that part's not actually in there. When the angels make this announcement, what world are they announcing this into? Well, at this time, Israel, the nation where they are making this announcement, Israel has been conquered by the Roman Empire. So they have been at war and they have lost. They have continued to rebel and have lost. And they are now ruled by a puppet governor that is officially Jewish but does everything Rome tells him to do. So peace is a familiar concept in that they long for it. In addition to that, they are at war religiously. One, because Israel sees themselves as a chosen people of God, so they're always at war with anybody that thinks anything else. But they're at war within themselves. You read through the New Testament, you always see the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Now, those aren't two different names for the same kind of people. That's like saying Republicans and Democrats. They do the same thing, but they don't get along. Yes, they're all politicians, but they do not approach that topic the same way. Pharisees and Sadducees, same thing. They approach spiritual things, but they approach it very differently and disagree violently with each other. And there's more than just those two, but those are the two main camps. In addition, they're at war racially. Because one of the ideas in their culture is that they are to remain pure, to only marry within their culture. But some people don't. Some people marry other people. And then there's conflict. In fact, that's what the Samaritans are. They're Jews that have married other peoples, and now they live in Samaria, which is supposed to be part of Israel, but the impure people live there. So this declaration of peace is very important because there's conflict all over their world. And the shepherds are like, peace on earth? Whew, that's great. This is going to be good. So Jesus is born. He lives, he dies on a cross, he's resurrected, and he ascends back to heaven. And Rome is still in charge. The Pharisees and Sadducees are still disagreeing. And now the Christians and the Jews are also disagreeing. Jew is still at war with Gentile. Pure Jews are still at war with impure Jews. It's funny. It sounds like that the angel declared that there was going to be peace on earth and all the conflict is still there. Not just after the declaration, but after the whole life of Jesus on earth, that it's all still the same. So if you like points, we have a few vague points that you can write down and maybe you'll remember what I was talking about today. They're not really the key things, but I like you to have something to go along with. The first one is that there is peace in the chaos. And what I mean by that is there is peace in the chaos. I know that's what I said, but what I also mean by that is there is peace. So even though we may look at all the puzzle pieces and go, that doesn't look like peace. If God said there's peace, there's peace. So we need to do a little more homework and try to find it. but I also mean that there is chaos. This is not a peace that was declared to replace the chaos. This is not peace instead of chaos. This is peace in the chaos. Because the chaos is obviously there. It's still there. All the stuff. In fact, when the shepherds heard about it, they probably went, awesome. We're done with Rome. And can you imagine being that shepherd going, yes, I got to go home and tell my family. And they go home and say, look, this is what's going to happen. And then 35 years later, that baby grew up, died on a Roman cross. Maybe you know that he was resurrected and you heard a rumor that he went back to heaven. But you're still a shepherd under Roman rule. The chaos is still there. The chaos is real. But if God declared peace, then the peace is real too. So I want us to take a few minutes and try to find it. Which means I have to find it in my notes. Hey, peace, where are you? Here, maybe it's in point number two. Okay, so if there is peace in the chaos, the second, then there is the peace of Christ in the chaos. It's not just a general weird peace, it's His peace. Now, he explains that himself in the book of John near the end of his life in John 14. He says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. He's telling his disciples, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Now first, let's look again at the context. What's going on here? Well, Jesus is about to be crucified. And he just told his disciples, hey, I know you gave up everything for me and you've been following me around for 3 years, but I'm about to leave and I'm not going to tell you where I'm going. But I'm going to come back. Good luck. Once again, the good luck's not actually in there. I just read that into my translation. This is not a peaceful atmosphere. The disciples are terrified. The shepherds were terrified of the angels. The disciples are terrified of life without Jesus. And what does he tell them? My peace I give to you. They're like, that's funny because I don't feel anything. You say peace, but nothing has changed. Which is why I find it really interesting that Jesus doesn't say, just, I'm going to give you peace. He says, I'm going to give you my peace. My peace. Not your peace. Because your peace has a tendency to be what we said at the beginning. It's an absence of something. An absence of war, an absence of stress. We have defined, if I could just get here, I would be peaceful. If you could just handle my in-laws. Not mine individually, I'm saying for your story. If you could just handle my family. If you could just take the stress out of my marriage or my parenting or my job. If you could take that out, then I would be at peace. What would be left, if you take that stuff out, would be peace. And he doesn't say anything about taking anything out. He says, my peace, mine, I give to you. In the midst of where you already are, he doesn't in any way change where the disciples are. He doesn't change the fact that he's about to die. He doesn't even go, okay, I'll go ahead and tell you what I'm going to do. I know I said that I was leaving and I wasn't going to tell you where I was going, but I'll go ahead and tell you. No, he doesn't. He doesn't change any of the context, but he inserts his peace into the context. There's something we study in theology class. It's the concept of already, not yet. That there are things that have already occurred, but they are not yet fulfilled. The kingdom of God is one of those that often comes up in this conversation. That the kingdom of God is already here, that God is already a king, he is already a ruler, and yet the kingdom of God is not yet fulfilled. There is still opposition to the kingdom of God. There are still a lot of things not under the active, obedient submission to the reign of God. So it's already happened, but it's not yet happened. We see in part, we do not yet see in full. You see this idea through the Bible, and I think peace might be one of those. I'm not sure. I'm still struggling with this as well. But I think peace, the peace of Christ, came into the world already. But it is not yet the dominant force in the world. I believe that it will be. There will come a day where God will crush his opposition, where his reign will be unchallenged, and there will be peace on earth. Total peace. But I also believe that what the angels said was true, and in that moment, there was peace on earth. That peace entered the earth in that moment. And I believe it because of this. There is peace in the chaos. There is the peace of Christ in the chaos. But there is peace in Christ in the chaos. Because Christ came in to the chaos. I want him to make my marriage peaceful. Can you take the stress and the struggle out of it? And he says, how about I come in to your marriage? I become present in your marriage. I bring peace, not by taking something out, by bringing something in. And that happened in that moment of declaration, glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace, because peace came from the glory in the highest to earth. And I said we might talk about why I chose the other translation. And I'm going to do this, and this is just for the grammar people and because somebody might get something out of it. It doesn't really say goodwill to men. Charlie Brown does, and it's not a drastic thing, but it says glory, a noun, to God, who this is addressed to, in the highest location. And on earth, location, peace, the noun, among those with whom he is pleased. Goodwill to men is not another phrase. It's the who the peace is to, who the peace is for. Because Christ did come in to make peace, but he did not come in to make peace between Rome and Israel. He came to make peace between man and God. The thing that we could never do. That's what he did in that moment. He came making peace for men, among men. And the word in Greek is en. Sorry, I was about to explain too much. You don't need to know that. But what does the word sound like? What English word do you know that sounds like N? In, yeah, it's not hard. In. That's the, normally when you have that word in Greek, you're going to translate it in. Now, Greek prepositions do a lot of different things, and I'm sorry, I'm getting us a little off, but it's it. But what if it just means in? And on earth, peace in people with whom he is pleased. Why? How's that possible? Because of what happens in John 14 when he says, "My peace I give to you." The sentence before that is, "I'm sending a comforter." God is sending the Spirit to you, and he will be in you. And that's what happened in that moment of Christmas. Emmanuel, God with us. This is the only place I find peace. To be honest, I don't find it well or often. I'm distracted. Not by the commercialism of Christmas, but by my own life. I'm distracted by my struggles, by my method of avoiding my struggles or distracting myself from my struggles. But if we look at the situation of Israel at Christmas, we already looked at the situation of Israel at Christmas. Let's look at the lives of the people. The announcement of peace comes to the night shift shepherds. They've got not a great job, and they're the night shift. Their job is to guard the lambs that will be sacrificed for someone else's sin. And peace is pronounced to them. Peace is pronounced to a young pregnant teenager who does not know what the future holds. Peace is pronounced to a young carpenter who's the fiance of that girl. His fiance has just come and told him that she's pregnant with someone else's kid. And he's supposed to raise that child. And he does for a few stories and then is gone, and apparently doesn't see Jesus as Messiah. Zechariah, the servant of God, who had always believed but then doubted when it was finally right in front of him. So he was struck mute and couldn't talk. He had to name his baby by writing it down. His name is John. This is the world that peace came into, not something grand or understandable, but real lives with real struggles and real pain. In the midst of their chaos came the Prince of Peace. But he did not change their environment. He did not change their war. He did not change their stress. He entered it. In fact, only Simeon really recognizes what's going on. And he says, "This baby has brought peace to me. I can now go in peace," is what he says. But he also recognizes that he has brought a sword that will pierce his own mother's heart. The chaos is still right there. But Jesus enters it. No one said there would be an absence of chaos. And we continue to try to define peace as an absence. If you could just take this stuff away, I would be better. An absence of war and an absence of stress. But if we look at the Old Testament, if we look at the Hebrew language, the word for peace is shalom. You've heard it. But it doesn't mean an absence of war or an absence of peace. It means to be complete. Peace isn't about taking something out. Peace is about being completed. Peace was declared on earth not because he took strife out of the earth, but because he completed his plan of salvation for people by sending his son, who enabled us to be completed. for God's plan for us to be completed. You see, peace is not found in an absence. It's found in a presence. We have defined peace as the absence of war and the absence of stress, but peace is not found in an absence. It's found in a presence. It is Christ that completes us, and Christ is the only peace you will find this Christmas. You can take out all of your family's stress. You can take out your financial stress. You can take out your stress about our government and our nation and international wars. You can take out gender struggles, harassment, abuse, discrimination. You can take out all the headlines, and it doesn't leave peace. Because peace is not an absence, it's a presence. And in the midst of abuse, Christ is present. In the midst of your struggle with your family, Christ is present. And so my encouragement to you this Christmas is not ask God to fix something in your life. My encouragement is, hey, just talk to Him. Because He is the answer you're looking for. He doesn't give the answer you're looking for. He is the answer you're looking for. He doesn't just give the peace. He is the peace. When He was offering His Spirit to the disciples, He was giving Himself to stay with them. There's not a formula. I can't just give you a little magic thing to do this Christmas. I just encourage you to know Him, to seek Him as the wise men did, to worship Him as Mary did, to accept His truth as Joseph did. And He may not change your circumstance. Your family may not magically suddenly be kind to you this Christmas. They will probably be exactly like they have been on the other Christmases, which is probably a mixture of some good and some bad, because they are human, just as you are. The wars may not cease this Christmas. The strife in our country may not yield. And I'm fairly sure we will wake up on Christmas and find a new set of headlines of war and stress. But in it, He is peace. I taught a class on worldviews this year, this semester. And as we looked at Eastern pantheistic monism, which is Hindu and Buddhism and that whole field of religion, there's an idea of meditation. But what they define as meditation is, I'm going to sit and empty myself of everything. And if I could actually get everything out, I would be at peace. The weird thing is the Bible talks about meditation too. And we in our current culture have tried to do their definition of meditation to the Bible. I'm just going to sit here and be with God, and I'm just going to empty myself. And I know that I'm concerned about my relationship with this person, but I'm just going to forget about it for right now. I know that God has asked me to be this kind of person, but I'm just going to forget about that right now. I know there's these stresses and wars and everything in my life, but I'm just going to let that go, and I'm just going to be with God. I mean, I could be wrong. It doesn't seem to be the way it works. I think meditation is bringing all our stuff and being with Him. Saying, hey, here's my struggle, here's my stress, here's my strife, here's my war. Will you be with me? And I'm looking for you in this. He may not change your circumstances, but in your circumstances, He is peace. And you will only find it in Him. We're going to close this morning with a song. I was really surprised when I started looking at Christmas to realize how much bells play into the story. We use bells all the time. Jingle bells, silver bells. There's bells all over the place. And I've never asked why. I just went, oh, it's, you know, that's the songs we sing. But bells have always been used to call attention. They were used in the early churches to go, hey, it's starting. Bing, come in. Now we just go ahead and play a song and figure you're going to wander your way in whenever you feel like it. What? That's just true. But this Christmas, I want the bells to be a calling, to be a reminder. Not of what needs to come out of Christmas, but what consistently, moment by moment, needs to come in to Christmas. Don't try to fix your Christmas by getting stuff out of it. Allow Him to change your Christmas by making sure He's a part of it. I'm going to pray and we're going to close with a song. God, we love You. I admit that I came in the middle of the week and read the Christmas story and went, really? But I'm so grateful that You came and said, really? And You let me spend time with You until we got there. That peace is not about absence, it's about presence. And I pray that as we hear jingle bells and silver bells and all the bells on Christmas, that it will remind us that You are our peace and we will not find it outside of You. But that You were kind enough to enter into our chaos. And then You have sent us back out into the world. And now we are bringing Your peace to those around us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.